listening to the School Success Formula with me, Lucy Parsons. This is episode 22. Hello and welcome to the show. I'm so pleased that you're here. Today I'm going to be talking about all the reasons why your child isn't revising and what you can do about it and how to get them started. But before I talk about that, I just wanted to give you one final reminder that my signature course for students and parents, all about study skills, it's called the Exam Success Formula, will be opening up for people on the waiting list for registrations on Monday. So that's Monday the 20th of November, if you are listening in the future. That's 2017, I should say, if you're listening in the future. And everybody on the waiting list is going to get the first refusal at signing up to this round of the course. And you're also going to be offered an early bird price, which is a £50 reduction on the total price of the course. So if you would like to sign up for the course, make the most of helping your child learn how to study. We cover everything from motivation to mindset to revision techniques to how much your child should be studying, what they should be doing on their revision breaks, as well as all the stuff that you as a parent can do to support them, from the way you ask them questions so they don't fly into a rage and get angry at you, to what you can be doing to support them nutritionally and emotionally through revision and exam season. So I would really love to have you on the course. It's been absolutely transformational for the families that have taken part in the first round of the course. Please do visit the information page, which you'll find by Googling the Exam Success Formula. And on there, you can sign up to the waiting list, or you can visit the show notes for today's episode, which you'll find at lifemoreextraordinary.com/22. And just look for the link through to the information page for the Exam Success Formula, and that is where you can join the waiting list. Okay, let's get on with today's subject. Okay, so in my Facebook group for parents, which is called the Supportive Parents Successful Students Facebook Community, one of the most common questions I'm getting is, why isn't my child revising, or my child isn't revising, what can I do about it? And it always comes as a kind of a cry for help with so much pent up frustration behind it. And I can kind of almost feel the kind of straining to try and maintain self-control of the parents who are kind of making this plea to me. So I thought it was really important to make this episode, because it's not really always simple to say why a child isn't revising for their exams. So it's not always easy to give the solution in the context of the Facebook group. So what I'm going to do in this episode is give you 9 of the most common reasons that your child isn't revising. And yes, I did say 9. There are at least 9 reasons why your child might not be revising. And I'm also going to tell you what you as a parent can do about each of them. Are you ready? Okay, let's dive in. So reason number one, they don't know how to revise, okay? So back in the day, I remember being set the homework, revise for a test. However, I had absolutely no idea how to revise for a test other than to read through the notes I had in my exercise book. And from experience, I knew that that wasn't very effective. And I was so frustrated as a student, and I used to get really, really cross about it. It's like they're saying revise, but they haven't told me how to revise. So if your child doesn't know how to revise, they may well be avoiding the issue of revision because they don't want to admit that they don't know what they're doing. It's embarrassing for a teenager to say, look, I just don't know how to do this, particularly if they're kind of in year 11, year 12, year 13, to actually come out and say, I've taken lots of exams in the past, lots of tests, and I still don't know how to revise. They're embarrassed. So what can you as a parent do about it? The first question you should ask your child is whether they actually know how to revise. That is, if they're not revising. Reassure them that it doesn't make you stupid if you don't know how to revise. It's a skill that you need to learn just like any other skill. You then need to help them to get to grips with how to revise. My recommendation would be to get them a copy of my Kindle book, which is called Revision Quick Start Guide, Get Revising and Learn How to Pass Exams in Just 30 Minutes. So it's a very quick read. It says 30 minutes, but it takes many students less time than that to read it. And it's also designed to be really practical. So it's designed to really get them revising in the shortest amount of time possible and to make them feel confident. Okay, so if you don't have a Kindle, don't worry, you can read Kindle books through a Kindle app on a smartphone or tablet, or even through a laptop or desktop computer. So if you search in the app store, you will find the Kindle app. And if you just do a Google search on how to read a Kindle book on your computer, then you will find the instructions there. So it's only $1.99, that Kindle book. So it's a really quick and easy way to kind of get your child familiar with what it means to revise and actually how to revise and get them started. Okay, so the second reason that they might not be revising is that they're intimidated by the size of the task. So revision can be really overwhelming and intimidating simply because of the size of it. When you look at piles of exercise books or reams of file paper that contain all of your class notes from 1 or 2 years of study, anyone can get overwhelmed by that. In many ways, it seems illogical that your child is putting off revising because the size of the task is too big, because you're thinking the sooner they get started, the better they will be able to manage the task. However, what your child is thinking is that they are almost certainly going to fail to get through the whole task, and if they're destined to fail, what's the point in even starting? So, what do you do about it? So I show, when I go into schools and do talks, I always show this graphic, which if you go to the show notes at lifemoreextraordinary.com/22, you will always see, And the graphic shows a picture of an elephant and it says, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Okay, that's your answer. So what that really means is that you need to break revision down into bite-sized chunks and help your child to focus on the areas that they need to revise the most. So if you've already got a copy of my book, The 10-Step Guide to Acing Every Exam You Ever Take, you'll find detailed instructions on how to do this using the red, amber, green system in Chapter 8. If you don't have the book, you can download the relevant extract of this chapter for free. So I give away this extract of the chapter for free on my website, partly because I think it's really, really useful and it's a key part of the revision puzzle, and it's also to give people a taster of what the book is really like. So in essence, this chapter tells you to download the subject content part of the specification for each subject that your child is studying. And I've got a blog post and video, which I've linked to you from the show notes, which explains how to find the specification for each subject your child is studying, and about where you'll find the subject content part of the specification. The specifications are huge documents and it's a complete waste of paper and ink and time to print out the whole thing. You just want the subject content part of the specification. So once you've printed that out, you then need to go through each line of the specification with a red, amber and green pen, marking each thing your child will need to know with the following. So red for things they don't understand or don't know, amber for things they need to improve on, and green for things that they're really confident about already. So once they've done this, they should focus on the things they've marked in red for their revision, ticking each item off as they go. This will enable them to chunk down the syllabus into smaller parts, so it's like cutting that elephant up into bite-sized pieces, and also focus their revision on the areas that will make the biggest difference when they go into the exam hall. So basically, if your child is intimidated by the task, by the size of the task of revision, you need to help them to break it up into bite-sized chunks, but also to prioritise the things that they most urgently need to revise, the things that will make the biggest difference to their overall mark if they bring it up to speed before they go into the exam. Okay, item number three. your child thinks it's too early to start revising. So I'm recording this in November of 2017. For students who don't take their mocks until January and their actual exams until May or June next year, their exams will seem a very long way off. As adults, we know that less than three whole months until January will go by in the blink of an eye, but 16-year-olds still have a very different experience of the passage of time, and it will seem like an age to them until their exams if you say, well, it's November now and it will be January when you need to take those exams. You know, so much is going to happen in their lives between then and now, it's hard to put any urgency into the task of revision for their mocks. So what can you do about this? How can you help them to see this urgency? You need to somehow persuade your son or daughter of this urgency. And one of the parents taking part in the exam success formula, my study skills course for parents and students, did this by creating a colour-coded calendar of the rest of the year for her year 11 son. She coloured mocks and exams in one colour, holidays in another colour, and things like his Spanish exchange trip in a different colour again. When she showed it to her son, he could see quite how little time was actually left, even though when you counted on your fingers, it was still 7 months until his actual GCSE exams began. This approach worked as it got this young man to start taking his revision seriously. So if your child is dragging their heels because they think it's just too early to start revising and there's no urgency, then help them to break down the rest of the year up until when they take their exams visually, so that they can actually see what's happening and when the opportunities are for them to actually revise. And they'll probably start to think, oh my goodness, there really isn't very much time left. And that will hopefully get them kick-started. Okay, the fourth reason why your child might not be revising is that they don't believe they actually need to revise. So one parent recently came to me saying that her daughter found exams, revision, and all academic work so easy that she didn't believe she needed to revise. Another parent told me that her son has very lofty goals about where he wants to go, but because everyone in his family has achieved similarly lofty things, he almost believes it's his birthright to do that kind of thing and that he won't have to work particularly hard to get there. These are really dangerous attitudes and symptoms of what is called a fixed mindset. These young people think that because they've been told that they're bright all their lives, and also got good marks in their work, and the people around them are high achievers, that it will always be easy for them. It may be the case that things will be easier for longer for these students in their studies than it is for the vast majority of students, but at some stage they will need to start putting in some effort, and it will be a real shock to them when this happens. So what can you do about it if your child just thinks it's all too easy and they're way too bright to need to do any serious revision? So if your child believes that their intelligence will always carry them through, then you need to talk to them about the difference between fixed and growth mindsets. A growth mindset is when you believe that you can always improve on your current performance by applying effort in the right way, and that there's always growth and scope for improvement as well. A fixed mindset is when you believe that it's your destiny to achieve at a certain level and that effort won't make any difference to the outcome. You can find out more about growth mindset in my blog post on the subject, and I've linked to that in the show notes. In a more practical way, once you've had that conversation with your child about fixed and growth mindsets, which of those they have and how they can start cultivating a growth mindset, all of which is stuff that we talk about in the exam success formula, my course for students and parents, you might want to get a bit more practical about things. So in a more practical way, you can prove to your child that they don't know what they need to know for their upcoming exams. So for example, most English literature specifications now require students to memorise quotations rather than take a copy of the text into the exam, like I did back in the day when I did English literature. Most essays will require you to use at least 5 different quotations, which is 1 per paragraph, excluding the introduction and the conclusion. If you have to write 3 essays in the exam, if it's an A-level exam, then you'll use a minimum of 15 quotations in the exam. However, you won't be able to predict which quotations you will need. My guess is that the minimum number of quotations you need per text is 15. Multiply this by the number of texts your child is studying, and you'll get an idea of how many quotations they need to learn off by heart. So for example, if your child is doing 6 texts, they need to multiply 15 by 6 to get that number, okay? And that's a lot of quotations to know off by heart. So unless they're used to learning lots of lines for drama, I don't think it's possible to learn this number of quotations in the final couple of weeks before an exam. Instead, students need to start early, learning between 3 and 5 per week from as early as possible in their course, e.g. the beginning of year 10. I have a detailed blog post about how to learn these quotations, and every year it receives a massive spike in web traffic about 5 days before the GCSE English Literature exam, as students panic that they don't know their quotes and they come to the blog post to get advice. But unfortunately, in my view, these students are learning the quotes far too late in the revision process. So what I want you to do now is talk to your child about the kind of magnitude of this task. Put them on the spot and test them to see how many quotations they actually know. And if they don't know any, point them in the direction of this blog post, which I've linked to from today's show notes, so that they can get some really great ideas about how to choose which quotes to focus on learning first, and also about some tips on actually how to memorise them. So this advice also goes for definitions and other factual information that your child would just need to memorise. This might come to them more easily in some subjects than others. For example, I always found it easy to remember dates in history because I had a really good understanding of how dates and events all link together, because I had this kind of overview of the historical narrative or the historical timeline. But for the life of me, I could not remember the equations I needed to know for trigonometry and maths. And that was partly because my base level of understanding of those concepts was not nearly as good. But it meant that I needed to put a lot more effort into remembering equations for trigonometry than I did have to put into remembering dates in history. So go through the specification for each subject that your child is studying and help them to identify the factual information that they just need to know, and start helping them to learn it now rather than trying to unsuccessfully cram it right at the very last minute. So these bright students that I'm talking about here, who believe that they just know everything anyway, they probably have intrinsically a very, very strong understanding of all their subject matter. But when challenged, they probably still don't know the level of detail of the factual information, the quotes, the equations, the definitions, the vocabulary, all those things that students just need to know when they go into the exam. And the earlier they start to actually focus on this stuff, the better. Okay, we're on to reason number 5 now. So the 5th reason why your child might not be revising. And this is that they don't believe that revising will make any difference to them. So in contrast to the students who believe that they're destined to great things and they therefore don't need to revise, some students believe that there's no point in revising because whatever they do, they'll get a terrible grade anyway. So they've got a very fatalistic view of revision. I saw this with a coaching client that I worked with last year. She was a second year university student and had come to believe that there was no point in studying because it would reflect even more badly on her if she had tried and still failed. Now, that may sound like a really kind of backward way of thinking about it, but It's just the kind of logic that goes on in students' heads when they are faced with revision. And, you know, thinking that it's better not to try and fail than to try and fail is actually relatively common amongst students. So working with me, it took this student a year to get to change her thinking on this, but she did start to see that if she studied in the right way, she would see better results. So that's, you know, when I was talking about growth mindset, it's all about effort applied in the right way. And that when she saw that her effort was bringing results, her confidence started to build and she was willing to put more work in because it felt like less of a risk to work, because she was more confident that she might succeed because she was working. So what can you do about it if your child just thinks they're destined to fail and that's why they're not revising? So the first thing is to help your child understand how they need to revise to make a real difference to their grades. So not all forms of revision are made equal, and if they're revising in the wrong ways, it's highly likely that they will not be getting a decent return on their investment of time put into revision and the marks that they get out at the end. What I'd suggest here is that they think hard about how they learn most successfully. There's an exercise to help them do this in chapter 8 of my book, The 10-Step Guide to Acing Every Exam You Ever Take. And as I said before in this episode, you can download that particular extract of the book for free if you go to lifemoreextraordinary.com/free-chapter. And the link for that is in the show notes. The other thing I would recommend is getting your child to do revision power hours. Now, revision power hours are absolutely transformational for many students, and the reason that they're transformational is that they take students beyond just focusing on learning content to actually practicing their exam skills and really getting inside the head of an examiner so that they understand what the examiner is actually looking for in their written answers. I was in a school the other day doing a talk, or it was a workshop, and there was one girl there, she was in year 10, and she chose to do a power hour question on her design technology. And she chose one particular bit of learning to focus on. She revised it and then she answered the paper and then she looked at the mark scheme and she basically got about 3 out of 11 for the question. And it was all because she hadn't written her answers fully enough. Like, she'd put really short 1 or 2 word answers that were kind of blatantly obvious. And when we looked at the mark scheme together, it was like a light bulb moment for her. She was like, oh, okay, yes, I do know the answer, but it's just about how I write down what I know so that the examiner is totally sure that I know what I'm talking about. So power hours take all that hard work of learning content and enable you to communicate that in a way that the examiner can award marks for. So again, you can Google revision power hour and my blog post comes out at number one on the Google search for that, or I've linked to it in the show notes. So the sixth reason why your child might not be revising is that they are too easily distracted. As one parent in my Facebook group wrote, my son rushes his homework and watches YouTube videos for hours. It's a matter of chasing him around the room to get him off it. At other times, he pretends he is working but playing a game on his laptop. One of the students on my study skills course, the exam success formula, also admitted that he gets home from school and instead of getting on with his homework, watches Netflix for hours. Other students I've met in schools say they spend hours on their phones before starting homework or revision. So what can you do about it if this is what is going on in your house? The first thing you need to do is to draw up a study schedule and decide on routines that make this happen for your child. We think in detail about how to make this work, especially for less motivated students on my study skills course, the exam success formula. But if you want to find out more about how to do this, I've got a blog post called The Weekly Routine of a Straight A Student, and it explains how to get put together this study schedule so that your child is doing the right amount of work in every week. Once you've created a routine, read my blog post, 7 Smart Strategies to Turn Distractions into Incentives and Get Your Revision Done. The principle behind this post is that you turn distractions into incentives. So, for example, if your son loves Xbox, let them know that they have to get 2 hours of homework and 30 minutes of revision done before they're allowed an hour on their Xbox at the end of the day. Effectively, they're earning a reward for their hard work. When I explain this change in psychology to students when I'm speaking in schools, I usually get an ah from the room as the penny drops about how you need to review these kind of activities that you enjoy doing, like Xbox, YouTube, Netflix, being on your phone, on social media. You have to view them as a reward for good work done rather than a kind of displacement activity, so that work is rushed and stressful at the end of the day or not even done at all. Okay, the 7th reason why your child might not be revising is that they're too busy doing other things. Your child might have a packed weekly schedule full of things like D&V, flute lessons, band practice, dance club, drama, rugby practice, and I could go on and on and on. Or they might just be too busy procrastinating by taking too long creating their revision timetable or watching Netflix or YouTube or Xbox. I could go on. In either case, they simply haven't got enough time left in their week to start revising. So what can you do about it? My advice is that every GCSE student should be doing one and a half hours of out-of-class study, which includes both homework and revision, every single week. A-level students should be doing 5 to 6 hours per week per subject outside of class. If your child isn't doing this, then you need to help them to make a weekly schedule, like I explained before, and the link is in the show notes. Or it's explained fully in chapter 4 of my book, The 10-Step Guide to Acing Every Exam You Ever Take. Or you can sign up to the exam success formula to get my full support with creating this timetable and actually implementing and it and starting to use it, because many students create it and then they either don't print it off or they find excuses not to use it or they say this doesn't work for me. So it's really, really helpful to get that extra support to actually make it work so they stop making excuses and actually just get on with it. If it is simply impossible to fit all the hours into their week that I recommend, so all the study hours into their weekly schedule that I recommend that they do, then it's time to make some difficult choices about their out-of-school activities. Now, I strongly believe that it's healthy to keep going with some sport and social activities throughout revision and exam season, but if it is literally impossible to fit all the necessary study time in, then something is going to have to give. If your child is a master procrastinator, you need to give them a reality check. Overly detailed planning of revision is a waste of time, in my opinion, and anything beyond having a weekly routine and ragging their specification, as I explained above with a red, amber, green, is too much planning, in my view. Ultimately, they need to understand that procrastination is a choice, okay? You choose to procrastinate or you choose to get on with the difficult and uncomfortable thing that you ought to be doing. And procrastination is usually a symptom of one of the other things that I'm discussing in this episode today. So they might be overly procrastinating because they don't actually know how to revise after they've created their revision timetable, or they might be procrastinating because they think that they're going to fail even if they do revise. So if they are procrastinating, look at the other reasons and try to think about what reasons might be underlying the procrastination. Okay, if you want more support on the idea of procrastination, I talk about it as well in chapter 4 of my book, The 10-Step Guide to Acing Every Exam You Ever Take. And that is specifically on page 52 if you're looking for that section. Okay, the 8th reason why your child might not be revising. They don't know why they're taking these exams anyway, okay? So this is students who are completely unmotivated. So some students won't see the point of expending effort on revision because they don't see where it's going to take them in life. These students are usually the ones who haven't identified a goal or dream for the next step. So if they're doing GCSEs, what do they want to do in the sixth form? What do they want to do at university? What career do they want to pursue? So they have no idea how these exams are actually leading to the kind of life they really, really want to live. So what can you do about that? So motivation is a pretty deep subject, really. It starts at an early age when you as a parent start to expose your child to the different possibilities for them in their life, you know, by taking them to places, introducing them to people and reinforcing their self-esteem so that they believe that they can achieve lofty goals and their dreams. However, at this point in time, if you can't rewind right to the beginning, you can check out my blog post on motivation, which I've linked to in this in the show notes, or read chapter 1 of my book, The 10-Step Guide to Acing Every Exam You Ever Take. And there's some exercises in that chapter, which when I do them with my coaching clients, they often say, wow, that's deep, because it really gets them to think deeply about what they enjoy, what their vision for their life is, and how they can bring all that kind of stuff together. And it's a really, really productive thing for them to do, so that they can then see how their GCSEs or A-levels are helping them to travel the path to the destination that they actually want to get to. Okay, the final reason why your child isn't revising already could possibly be because they are spiting you. Now, this is a pretty horrible reason to end with, but I have come across students who simply refuse to revise because they want to spite their parents. When you break this down a bit further, it usually turns out there's been both a breakdown in communication between parent or teacher and child, and there are too many strong personalities involved who simply refuse to give in. So what can you do about it if you suspect that your child is simply refusing to revise because they are using it like as a power weapon against you? So as a parent, you need to be a grown-up if you suspect that this is what is going on. If you know you've got a very strong and stubborn personality and have a tendency to be a bit authoritarian in your approach to parenting, you need to think about how you can change your ways, open up communication with your child so that it's more productive, and make steps forward. This might mean that you have to swallow your pride. I often find that the first step in this approach is to have a deep and meaningful conversation with your child, explaining exactly why you want them to study, that it's not for your own glory as a parent when they get amazing results, but that you care about them making the best of the opportunities in front of them so they can lead a happy and fulfilling life. You maybe even need to apologise for your approach in the past and talk to your child about how you plan to change and what they'd like to see from you in the future. So if you think you are in this situation and you've had this breakdown in communication, like every word you say turns into a row, but you also, when you really look deeply within inside you, you know that you are kind of being too strong and too authoritarian, and it's the strength of your personality that is possibly causing this problem, then I want to tell you this. You can rebuild your relationship and help your child to succeed in their studies at the same time. The key is to make sure that first and foremost, your child knows that you love them, and that anything like exam results comes second for you after your love for them. So before you speak from now on, make sure that you are saying what you actually mean. And what you actually mean is that you love your child and you want the best for them. It's not saying that revision is all that matters to you, and that it's all you want to see them doing. So just kind of rethink how you phrase your questions so you get across how much you care for your child over and above how much you care about their revision. So in conclusion, I hope this podcast episode has helped you to see that the reasons that your child isn't revising aren't necessarily straightforward. However, it gives you something to work with so that you and they can start breaking down the barriers to revision. So I'd love to hear back from you, your feedback on this podcast. And how you can do that is there's comments at the bottom of the show notes. So if you go to lifemoreextraordinary.com/22, you will come to the show notes. And if you scroll to the bottom, you'll see a place where you can add a comment. So I would love to hear from you in those comments why you think your child isn't revising and what you've done to help them. Also, if you've got further questions about this episode, you can ask them in the comments as well, and I'll be sure to get back to you. Now, if this has really rung true for you listening to this episode and you're really like, okay, I kind of get that this is complicated, and perhaps you don't feel fully equipped to kind of coach and guide your child through this kind of complicated psychology of when and how to start revision, then I would thoroughly recommend the course, the Exam Success Formula, to you, because it really, really has helped the parents and students who have done it to open up that communication, thoroughly understand actually how to study, how to revise, get over things like creating a study schedule but then not following it, and all this kind of thing. So if you think you need more help with this, and I'm here and I would love to give that help to you, so just come over to the show notes, lifemoreextraordinary.com/22, and find the link through to the Exam Success Formula information page, and there you can sign up for the waiting list. And you can expect on Monday the 20th of November 2017 an email inviting you to be one of the first people to sign up for the course, which will start again on the 20th of January, so hopefully when all GCSE students have finished their GCSE mocks, and so you have a bit more kind of headspace in which to take part in the course. So all it remains for me to say today is thank you so much for listening. I really, really appreciate your time invested in listening to my podcast, because I know time is precious. So I appreciate you taking the time to listen, and have a wonderful day, and goodbye.